if we ask of wisdom in the trials and temptations of life. So you struggle with something in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's the spiritual disciplines. But you have a struggle in your life. And God says, if you lack wisdom of how to overcome that in your own personal specific area of need, he says, you pray for wisdom. And God will reveal the secret to your success in that area of sinful struggle. And I believe the same is going to be true here. Lord, give me the plan. Lord, I don't know what to do because I just don't feel like doing some of this stuff. It's not appealing to me. It's not like the excitement of the stage. It's not like the concert that I went to last month. It's just kind of like, blah, I just don't feel like doing this stuff. God says, ask of me and I'll give you the plan. So there's a great Old Testament account, King Jehoshaphat. He and the Hebrew nation, they found themselves in a really difficult situation. As a matter of fact, they were surrounded by a superior army. They knew their demise was just imminent. They were ready to die. And the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat did what you and I really ought to do more often. And this is what it says that he did. His prayer is this, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. He says, O our God, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now watch what he says. Listen to this. He says, neither know we what to do. I don't know what to do. He says, but our eyes are upon you. So you and I, our second prayer is this. God, don't not just the passion to do it, but now give me the plan that's unique to me. What do I need to do? Because let's face it, there's no silver bullet for any of us. We can't tell you if you do this thing, you will be passionate about memorizing Scripture for the rest of your life. If you drink just this kind of coffee, you're going to be a prayer in the morning. I mean, that'd be great if we had one solution that was great for everybody, but we don't. And that's why God invites us to ask for wisdom. God, I have unique challenges in my life. Frank says that his is attention span. I'm going to tell you, I can be that way at times too. I have many times started to pray, and I'm praying for somebody, and all of a sudden I was thinking, yeah, I just saw him mowing his lawn. Oh man, I got to mow my lawn, right? I mean, I just, all of a sudden, I will bounce off of every topic and subject. Before you know it, I just spent the last 15 minutes going through my to-do list. And but you know what? We have those challenges. God says, if you ask for the plan, and Jehoshaphat asked for that same thing. His prayer was basically, Lord, would you give me a plan? So this plan is always going to include something, the second word, Colette, that none of us like, is accountability. Oh, accountability. Now, most of the time, we see accountability as one thing. It's one other person interfering in my life and asking me tough questions. And that's good. That is important, and that's part of what we're talking about. And I think we do need to have that. We need to have what is basically you consider that coaching relationship. Even the professional sportsmen, they know that unless there's someone holding them to a higher standard, most of them will take the easier road and never become that powerhouse. And for you and I, we need that. We need to know that we have someone who's going to check in on us and ask us the questions. But also there's indirect human accountability. Indirect accountability. So someone had mentioned this in the panel, but one of the things that I know my daughter did too, but someone else mentioned something along this line, but one of the things I tried to do for accountability for myself was to do my devotions where my family could see me doing it. Now, it wasn't just so that they could pat me on the back. It really wasn't. But I wanted them to know that it was important to me. So if every time I went to do my devotions, I went into hiding and they had no idea where I was, they had no idea what I was doing, they would never know that I was trying to spend time with God and that it was a priority to me. So I would try to do it always early in the morning, and I was always up before everyone else. But if they happened to come down, I wasn't going to hide the fact that I was reading my Bible or that I was praying. So the indirect human accountability was me allowing other people to know that this is important to me and this is a priority to me. It's accountability in both directions. It says something to my family, but it also was me knowing that I've got people watching And I've got to lead by, I got to lead by example that this is important. This is an important part of what we do and how we do it. So let me give you the abstract accountability. I am probably, I am not an engineer, I am not a computer guy, but I am a life hack geek. If I can find a way of making things easier for me, or if I can find a way of setting myself up, I'm going to say it in the positive sense, setting myself up for success, I do that. So I try and find ways of making a discipline easier for me so that I can grab a hold of it and do it. And so down the years, I've done all kinds of things. So I brought a few of these are from the early on. This is when I was, you can tell the quality is fantastic, but don't judge that. And I'm going to leave these out on the table. You can look through it because my thing is this. Anybody can make this, and anybody can do something like this if they just throw something together on a computer. But these are the journals that I had back over the years. Some of them have the dates on them going all the way back to when I lived in Michigan. But inside of these, you can see where I was reading and what I felt God was saying to me in there. It's accountability. See, because I can look through this and read what God taught me, and I can see the days, actually, the days that I missed having time with God. Because one of the habits that I was encouraged to do, and I still hate this, but one of the things someone challenged me to do, I'm trying to see if I can find one of them, but when I would miss a day, I was supposed to write on that day, Satan won today. Now, that's never fun to write. And I know that that's not always the reason that we would miss, but that was my accountability. That was my way of saying, Vinny, don't stop. Keep pushing forward. Keep doing it. So I've got these journals. They're all different kinds. For a while, before I had a smartphone, this was my prayer list. Well, this is an empty one now. I printed it off just for this. But I had a place for every day to write prayer requests. And I made it small, and I made it, this is what I'm talking about, geeky, right? But it would fit in my wallet. So I would just have this with me all the time. That was just something I tried to do. This is one of my scripture memory journals that I tried to do. And you'll see a sample of this in the book that you were given today. But it took time. I went and bought a moleskin. And I printed off the book of, well, the first chapter of Philippians, and I taped it or glued it in, right? I had a craft night, okay? So I put it all together, and then I can interact with it, and I would keep it with me, and I would, this would be my way of going through those verses over and over again. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've started to memorize three books of the Bible in my life. The book of Philippians, the book of James, and the book of 2 Peter. And I've got the first chapter of all three of those, and that's where I stopped in all three of those. So this is to make myself feel better. As we've been thinking about these disciplines, I'm probably going to pick another book of the Bible, but I'm only going to plan on the first chapter. And I can feel better about myself as I get to that point. I shared this with with the couples last month. This is my prayer book for Conrad. I put this together probably the week he was born. And so I've got 15 prayers that I wrote. These are prayers that I felt were critical. The first one is about his salvation. I'm praying for his day of salvation. I'm praying that God will put a hedge about that day. There will be nothing that would hinder anything from him hearing, grasping, understanding, and taking having the faith to understand the gospel. So I've got 15 of these prayers. I pray each one twice a month. So it's not super overwhelming. All of them are important to me, so I pray them with excitement, and I genuinely want to see God do these things. So the accountability for me now is I put check marks at the top every time I pray one of these prayers. My desire is when he turns 13 or 14 and he's getting into that stage of life, I'd like to give this to him and say, this is the prayers we've been praying for you. This is what we've been asking God to do in your life. And so that's important to me. I have a journal. I gave journals to my three daughters and my wife like four Christmases ago. These are some of the things that my quiet time recorded over the years. I went through a phase of time where I was on Twitter, and so every morning when I would read, I would have to summarize what God showed me into 144 characters or less. And that took me some time some days, I'm going to tell you. But my point is this. I had to say, God, what can I do to get myself to memorize? And God said, why don't you give this a try? Okay, so God, how am I gonna know if I'm doing my quiet? God said, well, just throw a book together. Okay, I'm going to try that. How about praying more often or praying as I'm going through the day? And I tried this. Now I'm on my phone. I have an app on my phone. Whatever it is, say, God, would you give me the plan? God, help me to know what I can do that answers the weaknesses I have in this area. But God, give me the plan so I know what to do. All right, let's go to our last one. So we've got our first prayer is, Lord, give me the passion or the desire. Number two, Lord, give me the plan. And then number three, Lord, give me the power. I'm just going to tell you, all three of these prayers are absolutely essential. We've got to have all three of them. Maybe you've been here before. Have you ever, when you were younger, or maybe for those of you who are parents, you've done something that was stupid, and your parent looks at you, or you look at your child and you say, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. How many of you have ever done that? I don't know why I did it. I still remember I was in seventh grade. I was sitting on the bus outside of Penfield High School. School was emptying out. I somehow got on the bus first. I was sitting there, and I was a good kid, okay? I was a good kid. I surprised myself. Some kid was going by the bus, and he made some motion to me, and I flipped him the bird. I had never done it before. I had never used the middle finger before. I don't even know where I got the idea from. Without thinking, he did something, and I flipped him off. And I sat in my seat, and I went, what? I had to ask myself, why'd you do that? I don't know. I have no idea why I did that. And I think all of us will find ourselves in those situations. I have no idea why I just did that. And this is the situation, because you and I can say, God, give me the passion, and he does. Then you and I can say, God, now I need a plan. And God gives you the plan. And all of a sudden you're going, I still don't want to do it. Right? I mean, I'm still facing the situation. And we still are in desperate need for God to intervene and empower us to do what we know we're supposed to do. Because our human nature is going to fight against this no matter what. Paul describes it this way. He says, for the things which I do allow... I allow not. For what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, I can't even handle myself. He says, the things that I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do them. But the things that I'm not supposed to do, man, them are fun. And he says, what am I going to do? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You and I can have the best plan in place and still tomorrow morning wake up and go, I'll do it later. Or I'll start that tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Well, that hurt, right? Peter says it this way. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We're not going to have a band that is going to lead us out after the end of today, and we're all going to go out of this place going, scripture memory, yeah. And, you know, we're not going to come out of this place just all excited about discipline. Because Peter says you're going to have to roll up your sleeves, gird up the loins of your mind, get ready for the hard work, man. It's like digging ditches in the 90-degree, humid, hot southern heat. He says there's going to be times, it's going to be work. Peter says, understand this. Gird up. Roll up your sleeves. Get ready for the battle. And it's not just a one-week battle. It's from today till the day we reach heaven. It's just going to be there. James says it this way. He says, Elias was a man subject to like passions like we are, the same struggles I have. Frank, you'll be glad to know that Elias struggled with his attention span. He understood. Jesus understood too, because it says that he was tempted in all points like we are. So we're no different than each other, really. And this is why we can be on each other's team. This is why we can encourage one another. Even though we all have our weaknesses and our struggles, we can go, you know what? I'm the same way. And it says about him, it says that Elias was a man of like passions, but when he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, it says that God held off the rain. Earnestly. You know what? He was struggling with attention span. He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray this. I'm going to be involved in this. And God answered that. So we have a busy life. We have a busy heart. And we have a busy mind. These are the things that are going to pull against us. Let me close with this last quote, this last saying that I thought was pretty interesting coming from Theodore Roosevelt. He said, there has never been a man in our history who led a life of ease whose name is worth remembering. It's going to be hard work. And the harvest of seeds that we're planting in the darkness of 6 a.m. may not come for 10 years. The harvest may not come for 20 years. But it is coming, because God promises that. Whatsoever man sows, that he's also going to reap. So the harvest is coming, so don't give up. Fight through the lack of desire and say, God, give me the passion. God, would you give me the plan? And God, would you give me the power? I've got to do these things, so it's critical. That's the challenge for us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you do give us, God, all that we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. Lord, if we're willing to look, if we're willing to be creative, if we're willing to come to you and ask of you, God, you're willing to answer. And Father, we have a group here today that is saying, God, would you help us? God, would you give us that desire? Would you give us that plan? And would you give us that power now to do what we know we're supposed to do? God, it would be so much better if this was a fun idea. If this was, as some have mentioned, maybe we get a reward, an immediate prize. But God, that's not always how it works. And so, Lord, would you help us to understand that someday the harvest is coming in. And all of these things, the inconveniences of these habits will pay great dividends in our lives, in our children's lives, in our families' lives, and in our church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.